an agency is a bridge to something. It's never the end all to be all. I'm Johnny Page.
I'm Matt Verleck.
And this is the SaaS Academy Podcast.
SaaS Academy Podcast here with my man, Johnny Page. What's going on, dude?
Chilling. Loaded up on coffee. Got the workout in this morning. Feel like the brain's firing all cylinders. We're in a good spot.
That's good, because I'm going to crack open that brain of yours and pull some insights out on this episode, because I want to talk about something that I think, honestly, don't let this go to your head, but I think you've done a really good job at this in our time working together. And I know it comes up all the time with the founders that we coach. And the question I'm going to throw on the table, and we'll pick it apart, is how do you know when to hire an agency? How do you hire an agency? How do you manage? What should you hire an agency for? Like, there's so many founders that are weighing the cost of, like, should I hire an agency and work with a company that does XYZ? It could be marketing, it could be RevOps, it could be media buying, it could be, you know, whatever, 1,000 different things, finance. Or should I go hire a person? And there's a lot of, I think, myths and challenges, a lot of landmines that you can accidentally step on. We've probably stepped on most of them over the years. So, dude, like, just kind of take us in. I think a good place to start is, like, making the decision of which route should you go. So, like, how do you think about this stuff, man?
Sweet. Well, so first off, yeah, I love talking about this, man. And I've definitely got my fair share of bumps, bruises, scars on hiring agencies. Like, I've probably in the last 10 years, I've worked with over 40 in all different categories. And man, the first 20 was like a carousel, learning lessons the hard way. So let's start off by just defining, when we say hiring an agency, this is typically, especially when we're coaching our clients, it's any type of outsourced work. So it could be like, should I, you know, outsource my SDR team? Should I bring in a digital marketing agency? Should I bring in a consultant for X? Like, I'm talking consultants, anyone outside your organization is going to plug into the engine and be responsible for a part of the engine. It can be a great advantage. But it also, my job today is to put the warning label on doing that and teach you how to extract the most value out of it, so it doesn't end up being a regret, like the pile of regrets that I have in hiring some of those agencies. So,
spoiler alert, there's no silver bullets in this game. There's a bottom line up front.
Dude, I used to think that it was easier. And I think there's a lot online now about people, you know, using only contractors and these like solopreneurs, like really small teams, that seems exciting. But if you don't learn the skill, it is not any easier to manage an agency than it is to manage a team member. In fact, yeah. I think it probably requires at least 1.5 the effort, if not more than that, to really extract the value. Because if we think about their business model first, and then I'll talk about the scenarios. I want to chat through the scenarios when I'd use them. You know, how do we find a great agency? And then how do we manage that relationship when they're on board? But I first want to frame some context. If we think about the agency business model, for them to make more money, their profit margin lies in putting in the least amount of labor to get you just enough outcome to stay on board. Like, they're literally trying to stay right above the burn line.
Yeah.
Now they can put that on their website, but, like, you know, they want to achieve great results for you. And some agencies are awesome and they're able to have great profit margins and hit the outcomes that you're after, but it's very rare. At the end of the day, they're trying to do just enough not to get fired. They're not trying to be exceptional. And the other challenge is they don't wake up every day thinking just about you. They think about all their other clients. They think about getting more clients, you know, hiring more team members, all that. So when you think about working with an agency, it's helpful to ask what would make them successful. What are their goals? Are they in growth mode? You know, how do they hire team members? Like, taking that level of, I don't know what you call it, like diligence and bringing them on board can help you avoid a pretty challenging scenario.
Okay. So for people listening who haven't done this, because I haven't worked with 40, I've worked with a handful. So you're actually interviewing them about their business, not just about the way that they're going to help your business. That's fascinating. Say more about that. So, like, why are you asking them the questions about, like, are they in growth mode? Like, why do you care about what's going on in their business? How does that affect what they do for you?
I think to create any great working relationship, we have to be going in the same direction. Like, we got to want the same things. So if when I talk to an agency that's like in growth mode, so think about, they are acquiring a lot of customers, Well, to deliver on that, they have to have a great operating system. Like, you have to have great talent coming in to continue, because ultimately it's a service-based business. So they are exchanging hours for outcomes, or hours for dollars, and hopefully it translates into outcomes. So if they don't have great talent coming in and they don't have a great standard operating procedures to train those people up and deliver those great outcomes, like, there's a big question mark. Like, I know you can acquire more customers. The promise sounds incredible, but can you actually deliver on this? And I'm just trying to get a smell test on, like, do I think they're going to be able to deliver on it? Because I'll tell you what, the agencies, in fact, eyebrow and skepticism goes way up when they're really, really good at acquiring customers. Like, when everything in that, in the sales process, like, when that pitch deck is, it's the best pitch deck you've ever seen, and the website's a $100,000 website. And I'm like, man, I'm worried, because you spend a whole lot of time acquiring customers. Like, you can spend this much time delivering on the back end, because, you know, some agencies can stay alive just by, you know, working on 6 and 12 months churns and churn them all out.
So you're interviewing them on their growth goals. The interesting thing that brings up for me, and this is something that I've seen you do, is the faster an agency is growing, the higher of a likelihood you'll have of working with a newer person on delivery, right?
Yes.
Because you would assume that they're scaling their delivery. So, like, I've seen you do this, but I want to call it out explicitly for the people listening. It's also not just about the agency you hire, but the human that you're working with inside the agency that you hire. So how do you navigate that?
Like, I'll get to the point when we're in a sales conversation and we're, you know, I'm signing everything over. I'm going to ask them, like, hey, who's my strategist going to be? Like, who's my main point of contact? Because there's going to be a handoff. Like, 9 times out of 10. Now, I love it when I find an agency small enough where I'm like, the same person selling me is going to be the person. That's the sweet spot. I'll talk about, like, when do I feel like I'm in a really good spot with an agency. That is one of them. It's like, the same person I'm having a sales call with is going to be delivering the service. But if I'm not, I just ask them, I'm like, you know, hey, Tim, like, who am I going to get assigned to? Oh, are you going to get assigned to Alan? I'm like, is Alan the best? Like, I want the best person on your team. Are you sure? You're personally going to advocate for Alan. How long has Alan been on the team? Who other clients do you work with?
Love that.
Like, I'm just going to go one or two layers deeper. And I just, for nothing else, I want their personal assurance that, like, yeah, you're in great hands. Like, we got some that are newer. I want the seasoned vet.
I love that, dude, because anyone who's heard me talk about hiring an interview strategy, right, which is one of the things that I'm deeply passionate about, you know, we've talked about going 3 or 4 layers deep on your questioning, right? It's like, you don't just ask about an outcome that's on the resume, but you ask, you know, what did you learn on the outcome? What was the biggest challenge on the outcome? What was the before and after on the numbers of the outcome? Because it helps you decipher what the candidate has, like, done with their hands and their brain versus, like, oh, I was on a 13-person team that drove this revenue growth over a 2-year period, that kind of thing. And, like, I love that you're applying that same degree of structure, right? Like, the triple click on the line of questioning, interviewing the agency about, like, they got to sell their own person to you in the sales process. Like, I think that so many people fall into the trap of, like, they get the pitch deck, to your point, and it looks good and the ROI makes sense. And, like, if all these things are true, but they don't go into the human, right? And it is a people business. So I love that. Like, act as if you're hiring this person as an FTE on your team and ask all the same questions, you know?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yep. I'll tell you a story. I have an agency that we've been working with for almost 2.5 years now. It's the longest I've ever worked with someone. And when I first, they came through a referral and I went to go check out the website, and the website looked like it had been built in, like, 1998 and hadn't been touched since then. Like, it was just the most basic site ever. And I was like, is this the right company? Are you sure? And he's like, yep, they're ninjas. Trust me, they're awesome. So I did the sales call with them. And again, this was a company where it was the same person who did the sales call ended up being on the delivery. And he told me right up front, I was like, hey, we don't take everyone. Like, we spend very little time acquiring customers. All of our clients come through referrals. So, like, I don't take everyone. Like, I will not work with you unless I think we're going to crush for you. And then when we start working together, my expectation as we work together they're a media buyer. So it's like, for as long as you're buying media, I expect to hold that seat long term. And so the few things that I extract from that are, what I learned from that experience is, I set the expectations up front. I said to them, hey, I'm going to work with you guys for about 3 to 6 months to facilitate a transition, and I'm going to hire a full-time person to own this on the other end of it. But if you guys do a great job, we'll work together longer. Like, I actually don't want to. Like, the transition is very disruptive for the team. In a perfect world, we're working together for 3+ years. But this is what it's going to take to do that. And I just laid out the expectations. And I said, I want to know, what does it take to be your best customer? Tell me what your best clients do. What should I prepare my team to do? And then also in that conversation, ask, like, what do your worst customers do? Tell me about the time you worked with a client and it was terrible. Like, what was true about that situation? So I think those two questions in the sales process, saying, what's it take to be your best client? What is true in their business right now? How do they act? Like, again, like, that's a 15-minute conversation that helps me understand how you count the cost. Am I willing to do this? And then it also asks the question, like, when was the time you brought on a client where you just didn't get great results?
I'm taking notes to summarize this at the end, because there's going to be like a whole bucket full of golden nuggets on this episode. But like, I wrote down, preload the transition. Because if you think about it, these relationships, the default, unless you say otherwise, is that the relationship continues. I'm going to hire you. Everyone's happy. We're, you know, frolicking through the fields, holding hands, and we're going to work together for 10 years. But you have flipped that relationship, or flipped that expectation rather, where you're saying, look, in 6 months, I'm going to hire someone. You can change that outcome with your performance. But if you don't do that, then my default is I'm going to hire someone in 6 months. So like, be cool with that. That's plan A. And I just think that's 180 degrees different from how most people do it, where plan A is we're going to go. And then you got to have this like emotional conversation about, oh, it's just not working out. Like, the plan is for it to not work out. Change my mind. Like, I love that mindset, dude. That's killer.
Yeah, it kind of goes into like, when do I use agencies and when do I recommend using them? So there's three common scenarios, and there's some overlap between them, but there's the three times I find myself reaching for, hey, maybe we should bring in a consultant or an agency that's done this before. Are one, the first scenario is when we're testing a channel or an approach. Like, if this is something new for us and we're not sure that it's going to work out, this is primarily on the growth side, but you could also say this applies if we need to augment our software team. If I have something that is a bullet right now and it might turn into a cannonball in the future, but I'm trying to test it out, it's a lot easier to hire an agency. In terms of timeline, like, you know, it's totally different than sourcing an employee. Yeah. The timeline's typically a lot different. I can hire an agency in about, like, on the low end, 15 days, you know, 30 days, depending on how much research you've got to go into. You know, typically bringing on a team member and then onboarding them takes me like, you know, 60 days for the search and 30 days for onboarding. Like, it's a lot farther out.
I love it ethically too. Like, right? I mean, you get someone to quit a job and come work at another company for something that could be a 90-day test, then you got to transition them off. Like, that also sucks.
Yeah.
You
know? That's the other thing too. Is like, the agency is coming with, and they're advertising, we have a core competency in this area. So it's like, every day, all we do is we wake up and we buy media. So like, if you're trying to test out, and I did this at Silvertrack before we ever did any paid ads, I went to go find an agency and I said, hey, if this works, I've got about a $15,000, $20,000 budget. I want to see if this works. If it works, I'm going to hire someone full time for it. So like, your whole purpose is to help prove if this channel works. I don't want to question the execution. At the same time, like if I hire a person to go test a channel, now I have to wonder, did I hire the right person? Do I have the right strategy? And are we executing it well? All within that one, like, I'm trying to remove some variables by going to an agency. And then I have a lot less emotion wrapped up in if I want to kill that channel. Like, we can back out without having to fire a person.
Hey, let me ask you a following question on this one, on testing the channel. So like, how do you think through the budget on this, right? Because I think there's a lot of people who think that hiring an agency would be cheaper than hiring the full-time person.
No.
But right. So like, assuming we're on the same page, that like, you're likely going to overinvest dollar for dollar versus what it would cost to hire the person. Because in this scenario, which may be different for the other scenarios on your list, but when you're testing a channel, you want like stone cold killers, right? From that agency. You hire the best agency you can afford to make sure that it works. And then if you're going to backfill them with a person, they got to fill those shoes, right? Not like hire a budget agency that might have done this one time, then be like, oh, the channel doesn't work. Like, a great, great strategy will not survive bad tactics, right?
Yeah. So I'm trying to remove variables to get a good sense of whether or not this channel works or not. And if I hire someone who doesn't have the proven results, like the proven results, the decreased time, you're going to pay for that. but it's worth it. It's like part of, you know, just roll that into the budget of when can I make this bet, and, you know, don't make it until I got the cash to support it. And I decide how long it's going to take to evaluate that channel. So like when we were first evaluating paid ads, I was going to know, you know, 30, 45 days in whether there's some promise, right? You know, with that first 5K we allocated, like I had this, it was a very small scope. And we said, if this works well, we'll build on it. If it doesn't, we'll decide what the next bet is. But it wasn't until, you know, we were probably 3 months in. And the cool thing was, I used that agency to help me hire the full-time person. So I said, hey, you know, the guy's name was Philip. Philip ran a small agency buying media. And I told him, hey, I want you to help me prove out this channel. We'll work together probably for 3 to 6 months. But then I don't know how to hire media buyers. Like, I don't know the ins and outs of the, you know, all the platforms and budget management and all that. So I want you to help me. In fact, the last part of your scope will be being a part of the interview process. Like, I want you to interview for the technical side. I'm going to interview for culture fit and experience. And, you know, together we're going to find someone who works really well. So just going into with those expectations, man, I think it's, you know, in my mind, an agency is a bridge to something. It's never the end all to be all. It might be a happy accident that they end up working, you know, being great, like our media buyers we worked with for 2 years are, but that's the exception, not the rule. I mean, literally one time out of, you know, 40 plus, you know, agencies I've hired, have we worked for even longer than a year. I mean, like a year is a long time to work with an agency. So cool. That's the first scenario when we're trying to pull an outcome forward. Any other thoughts on that? Are you good with me riffing on number two?
No, dude, rock on. But I love that. And I think that calling out specifically that you're going to pay more is a key insight for people listening, right? You are overpaying for a sure thing because you want to test the channel, not the competence of the employee. That's the takeaway I got from that one. So no, that's a great one. Let's go to number two.
Cool. So number one was when we're testing a new channel or approach. And then number two was when we're trying to pull an outcome forward. So there's some overlap here, but again, when we go work with an agency, a huge part of how we work with them is making sure that we're documenting what they're doing. I said it's a lot more time consuming to work with an agency than it is with an individual. Is I'm going to make sure that all the work they're doing, we're observing how they're doing it, and I'm building that part of our business unit through playbooks and systems that we can operate moving forward. Like, again, I'm planning on us parting ways with the agency. So
Johnny, when you say pull an outcome forward, you're talking like on a timeline. You mean that like if you think it would take you 6 to 9 months to get an outcome by hiring someone, but you can get it in 3 to 6 months by hiring an agency that comes armed with the playbook. So that's what you're talking about, is like chronologically pulling it forward?
I'll give you two outcomes. So, okay. Or two scenarios. So one, let's say that we know there are some features that we need to ship as a part of building our SaaS product. Mm-hmm. And with our existing team, it's going to take us about 12 months to get through, you know, whatever timeline you want to pick, 6 months, whatever. I could go hire an agency to augment my team and pull that outcome from being delivered in 12 months to pull it forward sooner. So it's an opportunity to, like, on the software side, scale up the team to hit a target faster, because I think you've referenced this as like the time value of money. It's like the longer that channel is working, yep, the longer that feature is delivered, the longer we have the benefit from it. So if, yep, I have a high degree of confidence that is the next thing for us to push into, I'm going to ask myself, like, how can I pull the outcome forward? So like we just did this at SaaS Academy. We're launching a new channel, pushing into the affiliate channels for the first time. Like we've really under leveraged partnerships and affiliates just in general. And we went and hired the best of the best consultant to build the entire playbook for the first 90 days and start working on kind of, you know, I mean, building out that part of our marketing engine, while at the same time we were running the search. So we are looking for who's the person that's going to operate. So we're building the playbook, getting a really solid foundation, making sure that person's not at a standing start. So that was us looking at, hey, we believe that affiliates and partners have huge upside for us. And if we started that on January 1st, we probably wouldn't see the upside of it, like at least until Q3 at the earliest, maybe Q4. Like we see some signs of success early on, but there's a lot of building that needs to happen. How can I pull that outcome forward? I only do that when I know this is the right next thing for us to be doing. Like I've got a lot of validation. That's more of saying, we know the direction. How do I pull the outcome forward? Does that make sense?
Got it. Yeah, dude, totally. So the first one is, I don't know if the strategy is going to work. The second one is, I'm pretty sure the strategy is going to work, but I want it faster.
Yes.
Third one is what?
The third one is, there's some overlap here for this, but it's like when you need the blueprint or the playbook, like when you need the IP. As entrepreneurs, we're great at figuring shit out, but you should be selective with like, when are you figuring stuff out? And then when are you like hiring expertise? Again, it kind of goes back to, is maybe there's, this is overlap between like testing the channel. And again, I said there was some overlap between this, but separately, I'm looking at, when do I just need the playbook? We did this with our SDR team. So we felt like for a long time we're doing inbound marketing, generating tons of marketing qualified leads and just waiting for them to book a call on our, you know, did email marketing and retargeting to get them to book a call with our sales team. And we said, you know what? We're pretty confident that there's some opportunity if we were to start making some very warm calls. Hey, notice you downloaded something. We'd love to help. We have hundreds of resources. What's going on in your world? And if it was a good fit, to get them on a call with our sales team. And I just needed the blueprint. Like I'm sure if I hired SDRs, I could figure out what's the right opener, what's the right email sequence, all that. But again, like the time to figure that out delays the upside that I get from it. So I needed the blueprint. I needed the playbook. I went and found someone who had from start to finish every single, you know, the coaching cadence in place, they had the hiring process. They had it all. They built out SDR teams from scratch multiple times over and brought them in. And now that our team is still operating on that same playbook today. So you just get to fast track the learning process there.
Dude, I love it. It's funny you mentioned the like the pulling the outcome forward and the, I call it paying for answers, right? Is when you can get the blueprint, you can get the expertise, like learn it. And it's above board. Like I tell people, like, I want to work with you because you're the best and I want to learn how you do it so then I can hire someone to do it. You know, like you can tell them up front. But I wrote about this in my newsletter last month because like the time value of money and like the being able to quantify the actual impact of in a recurring revenue business of drawing the outcome forward or delaying the outcome out. Like it's a real thing. Like the example I wrote about is like, imagine you have an initiative that will generate you $1,000 in monthly recurring revenue, in new monthly recurring revenue every single month, right? So like 1,000 in January, another 1,000, so 2,000 in February, 3,000 March, right? Et cetera, et cetera. So like if you delay that, instead of starting to generate that revenue in January, if you delay it to April, it'll cost you 42% within that calendar year. You will make 42% less revenue in the calendar year. Like you'll still make it eventually, but like if you're trying to hit a yearly target, right? And again, like pulling outcomes forward is the oxygen of a business. A third of the year costs you 42% of the revenue. Like it's crazy. Or sorry, a quarter of the year costs you 42% of the revenue. It's crazy. So like there's outsized impact in any recurring revenue business of pulling something forward. And that is how, like for me as the guy who holds the pocketbook on these decisions, like that's how I think through the ROI on like, you know, Johnny has a deal on the table. He wants to go spend X to pull this outcome forward by 3 months. It's actually really easy. And it's why pretty much I can't think of a time you've been wrong on that, because like just pulling something forward by a quarter, assuming it's a recurring revenue opportunity, has an outsized impact within that calendar year. It's like, it's not an opinion, it's math, you know? Yeah. So stop wasting time. I love it, dude.
Yep, 100%. So the when to use them, the three were when you need a blueprint or a playbook, when you're testing a channel or a new approach, and then third, when you need to pull an outcome forward. Matt, let's talk a little bit about, we talked about selecting great agencies. Just to recap there, you know, I love finding agencies that are hard to work with. So the easier they are, I double click more, the better they are at acquiring customers, the more my skepticism goes up. I make sure that I, you know, double click on the quality. How are they going to deliver on this? Don't just assume that they're going to, you know, the promise is going to be true. And then just let them know that you're going to push and have a default end date. Hey, this is a bridge. You can determine how long that bridge is, but this is a means to an end. I feel we should riff on managing the relationship with an agency.
Yes, the hard part.
Once they're on. So we talked first about like, hey, ask for the best person, right? Like, you know, make the ask. If you're going to work with an account manager, I want it to be your best one.
Yeah.
What else do you have?
I'm big on rhythms and cadences in the way I run a business, right? Almost everything I do is a weekly cadence. Like literally my cadence in one sentence, weekly team calls, weekly data, monthly performance reports, quarterly planning. That's how I run a business. And so for me, and I'll tell you, every time I deviate from this, I pay for it. So like, be smarter than me, everybody. Don't deviate from this. Anybody who you want to work with, agency, contractor, whoever, a weekly touch point should be a non-negotiable. And I don't mean a email or a Slack message or whatever. Like, we should be speaking to the people you work with every 7 days on a recurring thing. If you're not important enough to that agency for them to carve out, even if it's 30 minutes. Shit, I take a 15-minute phone call, but it's the frequency of the touch point to stay front of mind. Because Johnny, like you nailed it in the very beginning when you said like one of the key differences between an agency and a teammate is like the teammate is 100% focused on your business. The fulfillment people in the agency might be spread across a dozen businesses. So yeah. A lot of the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time, right? If you picture the Eisenhower matrix, the urgency will overtake the important. If you have 12 customers, like the one who you talk to the most will likely live in the front of your brain, and the people who are silent may not live in your brain at all, but the money still comes out every month. So weekly touch points. So you can like, they're never going to be stronger than they are in the kickoff call, right? That's the best foot forward. Yeah. Painting the mountain and we're going to have this 10-year relationship and it's going to be amazing. Like, you know, I hope it is. But like every week, it should be like wins, reassess, progress, data. Next week, wins, reassess, progress, data, over and over and over and over again. Then every 1 to 2 months, if it's a long-term engagement, you do like a look back. Ideally, there's like same thing, the cadence, a monthly performance report. So we see how we did on the calendar month, goals for next month, weekly check-ins. If they won't talk to you every week, they probably don't deserve your business.
100%. Dude, 100%. So I think that that's a huge part of my keys to success in managing a relationship. I also think, and I know you touched on this a little bit, but super, super clear objectives and data. Like they integrate into our operating system. We have a weekly scorecard. We are clearly articulating the objectives. Like how are we evaluating success here? And we keep coming back to it. Like do not rely on them to keep coming back to it. You've got to keep it front and center. And I just understand squeaky wheel gets the grease. I'll say the other piece I had here for managing relationships is I make sure that I'm initiating really clear and frequent communication about their performance. And the cool thing is I found I can think of an agency a lot more like an entity than a single person. So sometimes it can be like hard to like, it's harder. Look, it's definitely, you need to learn how to do this and be able to give candid communication to and feedback to your team. But that can be more challenging. You have this, there's a, I don't know, what do we call it? Like a veil or you're one step removed. It's an entity when it's an agency. So I will initiate it really frequently. Like if we got 5 minutes left on the call, I just had an agency recently. I'll say, Hey Blake, do you mind? I want to give you 5 minutes. Just, I think, you know, we talked about when we first started working together, I thought it'd be 6 months. You know, eventually I'll hire someone in house. I just want to let you know how I think things are going. And I laid out and I always like, dude, there's always tension there. I'm always going to make sure they feel like they're not, if they're not hitting the mark, I'm going to make sure they know. You cannot let a week go by, a month go by where they think they're doing a good job. Like I need them to earn the business every time.
Oh no. They know, Johnny. It's not let a week go by when they think they're doing a good job. It's let a week go by when they know they're not and they think you're not going to notice.
Yes. Dude, the other thing that took me a long time to learn, and I think we've solved this now, but when I hired an agency, I would mentally shift responsibility for that outcome to the agency. Yeah. And dude, it's just, they're not going to wake up every day. Like at the end of the day, their business is going to keep on turning, whether I reach my goals or not. They're just going to go find another me. I own that responsibility. I got a tool. I got some more capacity to go deliver it. But like at the end of the day, who's responsible for making sure that thing works? It is me. It's not them. And if that simple shift will serve you, will help cut down on the number of like, you know, painful outcomes you have in working with agencies. If you understand no one outside the building owns this outcome. We have a full-time team member who's on our accountability chart, who's responsible for that outcome. And then they are working through an agency, but like you can't have an agency or a contractor own an outcome in the company.
You're the general contractor. They're a screwdriver. You got to use them. You know, but it's your thing. Yeah, I jotted that down as something to talk about, but you nailed it, man. It's just you can't abdicate responsibility for whatever the outcome is. It's on you. There's no one else coming.
Yeah,
on you, man. Dude, I love it. You dropped some nuggets, man. I'm gonna give you my hit list that I jotted down real quick.
Cool.
So you're interviewing them. Double click, triple click, quadruple click. I can't even say it, but you know what I mean, right? About like, who am I working with? How long have they been here? What kind of outcomes have they driven? Because like the people that you're working with is just as important as the organization that they work for. you notice things that are red flags that people might think are green flags. Like the more polished the go-to-market is, the more polished the onboarding and sales process is, right? That might actually be a flag that they're growing faster, which means you might end up with a more junior person. So like if you're reading a Google Doc for your pitch and talking to the same person who's going to be driving the results, that's something that you love. I thought that was cool. The three times to use them, testing a channel, you're buying certainty, essentially, pulling an outcome forward on a timeline, right? So getting the result quicker, or just wanting to like essentially learn, like agency as a learning tool about get the best in class mm-hmm. playbooks, get the, you know, the blueprint and then in-house it, and always making your default outcome, I'm probably going to hire someone in the next 6 months. You can move that goalpost if you're awesome, but that's my plan. Like that is a great briefcase full of golden nuggets on hiring an agency from Johnny Page, man. That was really good, dude.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks, man. It was fun to riff. If you got questions about working with an agency, you got wins, you got losses, you want to debrief, man, email us at podcast@sasacademy.com. I'll say like agencies are a super helpful and effective tool in the early stages of building a SaaS company. It's a lot of how we go faster. But again, it's like counting the cost before you go into that channel. I think we've done a good job today at unpacking some of the costs associated with it. So yeah, let us know if it works for you. If you use it, we'd love to hear from you.
Awesome. See you later, dude.